He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Sarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps.
Yeya nilo prema dana acharya karuna pracho yeya nilo prema dana karuna pracho yeya nilo prema dana karuna pracho hena prabhu kota gila charya Tako Kahamora Sarubrupa Kaha Sanata Kadasa ragu nata patita pava kahamora pata juga Kaha Kavira Eka Kale Kota Gila Goranatara Asane kutibo mata anale pasibo Goranga gunera nidi kota gele pabo se saba sangira sangi ke koilo bila
Se sangana paya kande narotamada. Yea nilo prema dana karuna pracho. Heno prabhu kota gila chayantako. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to sing this song on the disappearance days of the Acharyas for obvious reasons. The bhajan helps us feel more sentiment and express our sentiment in the appropriate way. Although we might not be feeling such great separation as Narottam Das Thakur, still we're feeling appreciation. And this is a nice way to express that appreciation. So because it is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, I thought I would focus on that. We can read about Srila Jiva Goswami. In that way. If we have some extra time, I'll read the verse. But I wanted to just try to focus a little bit, if we could. I was doing a search in the Vedabase. And we can read from Satyaraj Prabhu's book on the six Goswamis. I remember when I was in New York in the, I guess it was the 80s, Satyaraj Prabhu lives there. And he was saying, I think I'll write a book on the six Goswamis. That sounded really intriguing because Prabhupada mentions the six Goswamis in his books. But there was never anything for us extensively written on the six Goswamis. So it was a very wonderful contribution, this book. And we learned that Srila Jiva Goswami, just like the other Goswamis, they're all residents of the spiritual world, having come to this material world, accompanying Lord Chaitanya. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Good idea. Having accompanied Lord Chaitanya in order to not only teach what Krishna consciousness is through their writings, which they did extensively, but to demonstrate what Krishna consciousness is through their example. The example is of the utmost importance for us because it gives us faith, right? It gives us association There's interaction there, it's dynamic. Just like Narottam Das Thakur is feeling great separation because he associated with these great souls, by hearing so much about their instructions and their pastimes, he wanted to associate. He was associating with them transcendentally. So that association, that the qualities, the activity, not just the writings, not just the instructions, but everything is so important. And that's why we have such great affection for Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was the living example of what is a pure devotee. So by reading about these souls, we develop this affection and this appreciation, which is so important. And that's why we're trying to keep Prabhupada alive, in the sense that the Prabhupada disciples are so much concerned with the younger devotees, the second generation, having that feeling for Prabhupada that we had and have, because of having associated with Srila Prabhupada, having served under Srila Prabhupada. So by hearing the devotees talk about Srila Prabhupada, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, by seeing Prabhupada's videos, by hearing his classes and his hearing his morning walks, etc., that affection develops more and more, so that we can actually feel separation from the personality of Srila Prabhupada. Not just a desire to have known him a little bit, but feeling separation from Srila Prabhupada. And those acharyas that are closer to us, like Srila Prabhupada, we can feel that more because we're hearing more about them and serving their, hearing their desires, and reading their letters to their disciples who we know, etc. So it's easier. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a little bit more removed. So it's more of a challenge to have those same sentiments, the same feelings. I was in one temple where on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance day, it was more like an afterthought. It wasn't celebrated on the day, which we do often. Not celebrate on the day because our movement is congregationally based. And therefore we would celebrate during the Sunday feast or something like that. But it should be a celebration because we have to cultivate our affection, our appreciation for these great souls. So unfortunately, that Sunday the devotees they put Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's picture up on an easel without decorating the easel, and it was just, I felt a lot of pain in my heart, because I know how Prabhupada taught us to worship his spiritual master, who he had such great affection for, and he cried on more than one occasion, at least one occasion that we know of, perhaps two, when speaking about his spiritual master. You probably heard that lecture, some of you. So to hear what great affection Prabhupada had for his spiritual master, and to have developed that affection by hearing Srila Prabhupada talk about him, well, that's very important. We should cultivate that. Cultivate that means doing things like we're doing today. We're singing Ye Anila Premadana, and especially on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day and Srila Bhakti Vinanta Thakur's appearance day. We should worship them with all due respect. And so if we can keep that, because by observing these holidays like this, then our appreciation grows more. If we give whatever we have, then we'll get more. Even though we weren't that close personally, we could understand how we're close spiritually and we're so much indebted to these great souls, including the six Goswamis, because without them we would have no Krishna consciousness. So they dedicated themselves heart and soul to us. In fact, we should probably start out by at least reading the Sad Goswami Astakam. I have some audio here also. It's Chutnanda, then Swami. Be nice if you can take the opportunity to listen to Srila Prabhupada sing this sometime today. I'll just read it so we can get an idea. Well, of course, we already have an idea, right? You already know this bhajan. It's nice to meditate as deeply as we can on it, especially today. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very expert. I won't name all of them every verse because we're a little bit short on time. Who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. See, every verse has to do with their compassion upon the living beings and how they dealt. For the benefit of all human beings, thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental living service of Radha and Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very much enriched in understanding of Lord Chaitanya and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them the transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant, in order to deliver the poor conditioned souls. They accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. Incidentally, Jiva Goswami is Vilas Manjari in the spiritual world. That's his eternal identity. It's interesting. They dressed as mendicants, just using loincloths. But it says here, in order to deliver the poor conditioned souls. So Prabhupada explains, what does poverty really mean? When Prabhupada was talking about distributing prasadam, he said, everybody's poor. We don't just focus on materially poor people. Everybody's poor. And the rich people are even poorer because they're so much more bewildered. So in that sense, you could say they need prasada more than anybody. So in order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers, which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are sometimes on the bank of Radhakund Lake, or the shores of the Yamuna, and sometimes at Vamsivat. There they appear just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love of Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. So we could see how, just like Lord Chaitanya came to taste and distribute love of God, so this very nicely explains, especially in the last few verses, how six Goswamis were tasting love of God, and also in all the other verses, how they were distributing that love. Okay. So we'll go back to the database. Let's see. What I'd like to do is, I've never even opened the book. I have about 50 books written by the devotees and the acharyas that I have on my list to read. Unfortunately, and I was realizing that I don't know if I'll live long enough to be able to actually read all these books. I became more inspired to not live longer. Of course, we always want to live as long as we can, especially in Krishna consciousness. It's so enjoyable. I became more inspired to get up earlier and do a lot of reading. Now, I lost it. Hold on. Jiva Goswami, scholar. Biographies, Radhavali Plus. So, how many of you have read at least some of Radha Damodar Vilas by Vyasa Prabhu? Okay. I've heard many devotees glorifying it. And I was so happy to have found that he had written something on Srila Jiva Goswami. So I'll read some of what he's written. All the followers of Lord Chaitanya are glorious. But the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are especially acclaimed for their sublime literature that substantiates the conclusions of the super excellence of Prema Bhakti in the mood of the Vrajagopis. They also uncover the lost sites of Lord Krishna's pastimes and establish beautiful temples for his glorification. You know, I'm just thinking, like, when we grew up, we had certain heroes. Like, for example, the Three Musketeers, right? I don't know if you know about the Three Musketeers. But they were so exciting and so enjoyable to read about. One reason was because they were very valiant. Another reason is because they were such good buddies. They loved each other so much. And just seeing that love between people, all for one for all, that's what we're all striving for, unity. And that's on the material platform. Just imagine the six Goswamis, how more enthralling that is, because not only did they have affection for each other, but that affection was real affection. And in addition to all the service that they engaged in, the fact that they were together and they were in harmony like that is such an enlivening thing. Srila Jiva Goswami, the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan, is the last of the six to arrive in Vrindavan. At an early age, he is attracted to the ascetic life of renunciation. When his mother passes away in 1535, Jiva leaves home to join his uncles in Seva Kunj. You know where Seva Kunj is. Seva Kunj is the most sacred spot in Vrindavan, being the site of the Rasalila, where Sri Sri Radha Sarma Sundara eternally enjoy ecstatic loving pastimes. Taking shelter of Rupa Goswami, Jiva renders menial service and helps him prepare manuscripts. He will become Sri Rupa's foremost disciple. The Goswamis soon begin to install deities for worship. In 1542, two of the most important deities of Vrindavan make their appearance. First, the self-manifested deity, Sri Radharaman, appears to Gopal Bhatta Goswami out of a Shalagram Shila that he had obtained from the Gandaki River. Then, during the month of Kartik, Rupa Goswami presents Jiva with a beautiful deity carved by his own hand from a piece of black marble from the Vindhya Hills. He is Lord Damodar, the Ishtadev of Jiva Goswami. So Rupa Goswami carved Damodar. Since the six Goswamis are eternally liberated souls, we understand that the deities appearing to them are their eternally worshipable lords, not simply murtis to help them advance in sadhana bhakti. Of course, I'm sure you feel that Shishu Radha Kalachandji are your eternally worshipable lords, right? They're so attractive. We don't simply see them as facilities to help us advance in sadhana bhakti. The more you serve Shishu Radha Kalachandji, the more affection you develop. And I always become overwhelmed when I see them after being away for a period of time, right? It's overwhelming, darshan. So we should never take for granted this wonderful opportunity to be in their presence and serve them. Lord Damodar is installed by Rupa Goswami at Seva Kunj, where he quickly becomes the life and soul of both Rupa and Sri Jiva. The temples of Vrindavan have yet to be built, so the deities accept worship in the tree under which each Goswami lives. Rupa Goswami completes his most celebrated work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in 1552, under the tree where Sri Damodar is worshipped. That's Terkadamba, Right? That's where Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Have you been? Tergadama? It's between Radharani's, where is it? It's between Nandagram and Yavat. And Yavat on that beautiful walk. It's right there. And there's a wonderful sadhu that takes care of the place. So that's where the tree was. Many exalted Vaishnavas come to hear Sri Rupa speak on the elevated topics of Prema Bhakti at Sevakunj. In 1558, Jiva Goswami purchases a large tract of land surrounding Sevakunj. With the idea to preserve the sacred site for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. In this holy place, Sri Jiva establishes a prominent temple for his Lord Damodar. How many of you have been to that temple? Everybody, right? That's where Srila Prabhupada resided. Although Rupa Goswami is renowned for establishing a temple for Radha Govinda, his bhajan ashram is at Sevakunj. In his final days, Sri Rupa hands over all his manuscripts to Jiva Goswami, requesting him to write commentaries on them. Rupa Goswami enters Mahasamadhi in 1564, and Jiva Goswami solemnly places the transcendental body of Sri Rupa into his Samadhi Mandir, where it remains today in the courtyard behind Radha Damodar Temple. Before long, Jiva becomes recognized as the Acharya due to his vast learning and missionary mood. The most authoritative Acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, says Srila Prabhupada. That's in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 31. I also, where is it? This is what Prabhupada says about Jiva Goswami. I just have a couple of quotes. This is a letter to Dr. Chakravarti, 1970. He says, "Your tendency to give Srila Jiva Goswami the proper position of philosopher, give Jiva Goswami the proper position as philosopher is very much appreciated. Some years back, I attended a meeting in Calcutta wherein Pramathanath Trakvushna, the learned Sanskrit scholar, was present. He said about Jiva Goswami very highly that there was no comparison with Jiva Goswami and any other philosophers of the world." And he wasn't talking about contemporary philosophers. He was talking about any philosopher ever. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is very much proud of having such a great acharya as Jiva Goswami. And this is a letter to Bhavananda. "We have seen your note regarding Saraswati Maharaj, and you may engage one Sanskrit teacher for Saraswati, so she shall become a very great scholar, just like Jiva Goswami was trained in Sanskrit language from very early childhood, and no one could surpass him in all of India." So not only was Srila Jiva Goswami the greatest scholar, but he was also the best devotee. or a pure devotee. So, just like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, walking encyclopedia, the greatest scholar is also the greatest devotee. There are so many scholars who become proud of their knowledge, and that actually destroys their ability to utilize the knowledge for what for its proper purpose, or their ability to absorb knowledge. It's such a shame when we see people who are so have such great capacity, can do so much, but because due to their pride, it becomes a source of their degradation rather than a source of their purification, their elevation. And since this pride is so contaminating, it's really insidious, and we pick up on it so easily. Even a pauper is proud of his penny in Kali Yuga, right? So when someone who could be proud rejects that and utilizes one's assets in Krishna consciousness, it's very glorious. Right? It's one thing to have nothing and be humble. It's another thing to have everything and be humble. So that's why George Harrison was so much respected by so many, because he was a humble person, even though he was one of the most famous people in the world. So Rupa Goswami hands over all his manuscripts to Jiva Goswami. And writing prodigiously, Sri Jiva Goswami quickly attracts a great deal of fame as a scholar and a saint. So they gave up all their riches, right? Jiva Goswami gave everything up, all the Goswamis gave everything up, and they utilized all their talents, and they were so talented in Krishna's service, such an example. Even the Mughal ruler, Emperor Akbar, arrives in Vrindavan in 1570 to have an exclusive darshan with a distinguished saint. Moved by a genuine religious experience, Akbar begins to patronize the work of the Goswamis, offering Jiva Goswami a grant to erect a library housing the Vaishnava scriptures. Jiva also oversees the construction of beautiful temples for the worship and glorification of the deities of the Goswamis. So they're not just scholars, but they're actively engaged in managing the Krishna consciousness movement. In particular, Sri Jiva directs Rajman Singh of Ajmer to build a temple to properly worship his Lord Damodar. The temple becomes the classic Radha Damodar Mandir, celebrated for its vast library of the original works of the Goswamis. Are they still there? The library of all the works of the Goswamis. Or did they take them there when they were in danger? Did they take them from there? Or? I don't have any knowledge of this. Understanding Lord Chaitanya's mood to save the conditioned souls, Jiva Goswami founds the Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha to train up preachers for the Sankirtan mission. The Radha Damodar temple becomes the mission's headquarters, where the Raja Vaishnavas meet to discuss the propagation of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It is here also that Srila Prabhupada will later spend years formulating his attack on Maya in pursuance of the mission of Jiva Goswami under the shelter of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. So Sevakunja is the place where the Goswamis planned out how to spread Krishna consciousness. So it's interesting he's pointing out that Srila Prabhupada was residing in exactly the same place, being inspired by these great souls, and also was planning out, doing his writing and planning out how to proceed in terms of fulfilling the order of his spiritual master. So because of his vast erudition, Jiva Goswami attracted people from all over the world to Vrindavan to study under him. And Narottam Das, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu were his most outstanding students. I'm not reading exactly now. So in 1582, Jiva Goswami had a meeting at the Radha Damodar Mandir, and there at that meeting he formally announced his intention to send out those three preachers with the Bhakti Shastras of the Goswamis to distribute them to humanity. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
It says the library was maintained during all those centuries by the devoted followers of Jiva Goswami, but in recent years, Sri Gaurachandra Goswami had to donate the books to the Vrindavan Research Institute because he was not able to maintain them properly due to his old age.
Oh, so the books were donated to the Vrindavan Research Institute. Whose is that? Is that Bhan Maharaj? Who is that? Across the street, or?
No, same
Oh, okay.
It says that the rebuilding the library right now, I don't know when this is.
Okay, that's okay. That what? They're going to move them back to Radha Damodar when they rebuild the library. That's nice. Okay. There you go. So Jiva Goswami wanted those three devotees, Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda, to go out and preach. So Srinivas went to West Bengal. Shyamananda chose Orissa, and Narottam Das chose East Bengal, which is Bangladesh. So that's where they wanted to go. So Jiva Goswami arranged for this big bullock cart, and they put a chest full of all the writings of the Goswamis in the bullock cart. And so that's their first traveling Sankirtan party. And they were walking, heading east, and then they had soldiers accompanying them. They had 10 soldiers because they wanted to guard these precious scriptures. So they went all the way across India, and they finally arrived in West Bengal. No problem so far. And they spent the night on the bank of a lake on the outskirts of one city, Vana Vishnupur. And they were so happy to be back in the land of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So they didn't know, however, that they're being tracked. They're being spied on. There was this one astrologer, some big demoniac astrologer who told a band of thieves about this party that was traveling east and that they had a great treasure. That's what he saw. They had a great treasure. And so the thieves, they saw this chest being guarded by 10 soldiers. So they stole the the chest, because they were convinced that, well, that's the treasure. So they snuck in at night and they stole it. So you can imagine how the devotees felt the next morning when they discovered that. They're in complete shock. And Narottam and Shyamananda, they were so upset they just wanted to commit suicide and just drown themselves in the lake. But Srinivas encouraged them to push on to their respective preaching fields. And he said, I'm going to stay here, and somehow or other, I'm going to get those books back. So they embraced each other with heavy hearts, and then they parted ways. So he went directly to the local ruler, Srinivas, Rajbir Hambir, because he wanted to get to the bottom of the whole thing. The thing was, though, that it was the king himself. He was the one who sent out those thieves to get the books, because that was his custom, to always raid the parties traveling through, because there were so many wealthy travelers, and that's how he maintained his treasury. So he thought, well, this great treasure is coming, so my financial problems are solved. So instead, he was like completely devastated when he found out these sacred scriptures. So he realized he committed a big offense. And so the king decided to sponsor the daily reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam for the public, hoping that he would mitigate his offense. So Srinivas started attending these meetings. And so he became recognized by all those who were listening as a really elevated scholar of the Bhagavatam. And the king, and that attracted the attention of the king. And that's when the king admitted that actually he was in possession of these stolen writings. And in that way, Srinivas recovered the books. Interesting. So then the king became a disciple of Srinivas. And he decreed Gaudiya Vaishnavism to be the state religion. So he was a Muslim king. In one stroke, Srinivas delivers the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to Vana Vishnupur, conquered the city. So it goes on like that. Very wonderful reading. So it's past time. So today we can try to, it's the appearance day or disappearance day of another acharya today also, isn't it? Jagadish Pandit. I have this little program that informs me of the holidays and sort of gives like a peacock cry when there's a holiday and it pops up, but it was just disappearance day of Jiva Goswami, but so it didn't tell me the rest, but I saw on the calendar. Also, that another great acharya. Who, once again? Jagadish Pandit. So let us pray for the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami, that we may somehow or other imbibe even a tiny fraction of the Krishna consciousness that he has and he so liberally is bestowing upon all humanity. Any comments or questions? Yes, Bhattaji. How does being meek and humble blend into preaching, which we know that a good preacher is always very dynamic. Humility means that you're surrendered to the will of Krishna. You don't have your own life. You're always thinking of the benefit of others, what to speak of the benefit of Krishna. That's humility. Just because Arjuna was fighting doesn't mean he didn't have a humble heart. So the external manifestation might be different, or just like Srila Prabhupada as well. Prabhupada humbly served the order of his guru. And we know that Prabhupada never gave credit to himself. And on behalf of his guru, just like Arjuna, on behalf of Krishna, fought like anything for victory. Not taking any credit and understanding where all the power is coming from. So that's real humility. So just like there's this one sannyasi, Subal Prabhu Maharaj, I was with him in Canada, and we were invited to an Indian man's home. An Indian man turned out to be a big rascal. Big rascal. And he was blaspheming like anything. So Subal got furious with him. And the man said, sadhu doesn't get angry. You're not a sadhu. He said, this sadhu gets angry. Prabhupada would get angry also, but for Krishna, not for his own sense gratification. That's the difference. Is meek the same and humble? We'll have our man, Prajananda Prabhu. Please go to your Theosaurus and look up meek and see if that's a synonym. I would suppose that it is. Just another way of relishing that quality, or relishing that mood, just a slightly different feel. One who feels the pain of others. I haven't heard it like that. It's meek. Compassionate, empathetic, yeah. Okay, Brajananda Prabhu, you have 5 more seconds. What are synonyms for meek? Ready. Gentle, humble, docile, modest. And probably humble has similar synonyms too.
What's that mean, long suffering?
Long what?
Long suffering.
Long suffering? Is that?
Long suffering?
I don't know. You have to ask the telephone there. Sometimes he's. Right.
And then it says overly submissive or compliant.
Overly submissive, compliant. Overly submissive.
Overly submissive.
These are material.
These are materialistic.
Overly submissive.
And then spiritless or tame.
Just like, was Prabhupada overly submissive to his spiritual master? I mean, there's no limit to the amount we could surrender, really. Are the gopis overly submissive? What does that mean, actually?
Submissive to all people. The people that we don't actually believe in or have faith in, but bowing down under them because we're not willing to stand up for.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just don't see it in terms of our context, anyway. Meek. In terms of the Goswamis being meek, we. Right. Right. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I just wouldn't use the word meek to describe that. That's all. Yeah.
We found the synonym for long
suffering. Yeah, what's the synonym for long suffering? I know what the antonym is. Short suffering. Oh, having patience in the midst of troubles, especially those caused by others. Of course, these are all the opinions of people who write these. Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.